This audio presentation is the teaching of Pastor Aaron Pacheco of New Hope East Hawaii. In his message titled, Living My Life God's Way, Pastor Aaron encourages us to discover, develop, and deploy our unique gifts in service to our divine assignment. This message was recorded on Sunday, March 15, 2015. Here now is Pastor Aaron.
Oh, good morning. And this morning, if you were expecting to see a handsome Okinawan gentleman giving the message, then I need to apologize to you because that handsome gentleman is actually taking a break today. And I'm pleased that I get to be a part of doing this because Pastor Scott does need a break too. I mean, we know how energetic he is. We always see him running around. But before we kill him, we got to give him a break. So this is what I'll ask of you this morning. This morning, because he's taking a break and he's not off in a conference somewhere, he actually gets to take a real break. Let's do that for him, okay? Let's allow him to do that. In fact, after the service, please just go up to him and say thank you. Let him know how much you appreciate and love him for loving us the way that he does. And then don't drop your problems on him today, okay? In fact, today, there's Pastor Dennis, there's myself, there's Pastor Courtney, there's the other leaders in this church. You guys come and you can do that to us today. It's all good. We're working, but we're going to give Pastor Scott a break today, okay? And, you know, last night I was thinking about that, and sometimes I just don't appreciate him enough and what he does. And I think God really, he really gave me a wake-up call on that. Because you know how he's always talking that when he doesn't have to do the message on Sunday, he actually gets to sleep in and relax, and he's not all tense about what he gets to do the next day. Well, last night, I was studying for the message. I had actually come home from work about 5 o'clock or so. I sat down, and I had planned to study a little bit. But instead of studying, I ended up studying the back of my eyelids. So I got in a two-hour nap, and then I woke up and, you know, was refreshed. Actually, it was a good thing. Was a lot refreshed, and I sat down with the message for a little while. And then right about 10 o'clock, 10:30 or so, I decided that was enough, so put everything away and then lied down. And because I had taken the nap, I really couldn't fall asleep right away. And it was a good thing because I heard my phone go off, the text message, and one of my friends had texted me and asked me to come and pray over his mom this morning because she's not doing so well. And this is a person who in my life, I've watched her live her life in such a way, who has been a pillar in my life, actually. So absolutely, my answer was going to be yes. But I checked with him and I said, what are you doing right now? Because I'd like to come now. I may not get a chance till later today. So I got to go over and go see her and pray with her and do all that. And, you know, I consider it joy that I got to do that. So got home, was about 11 o'clock. I laid down again. About 11:30, I get another call on my phone. My phone is going off. Good thing I didn't fall asleep yet. But this time, it's the restaurant owner over at Imiloa where I work. And the poor guy, he was all distraught because the drainage in the room had backed up. And they were still from the time that they closed down at 9:30, they were still trying to get that thing unplugged. And they were calling all kinds of pumping agencies, and nobody was returning their call. So don't believe all the ads when they say we're on call 24 hours, okay? But he needed me to come and open a door for him so he could get to a certain piece of equipment. And so I went and I did that. And I'm kind of thinking in my mind, I wonder if Pastor Scott goes through this every Sunday. And I wouldn't doubt it. But I got home, and after that was all done, I kind of thought about it. And I was kind of grateful because these are relationships in my life that they're not afraid to call on me. And I get to be a part of. This is the life that God gave me. You know, somebody this morning actually told me, oh, you didn't get bust up last night. The enemy really trying to attack you. And I got to tell them, you know what? Not giving the enemy any credit. This was this is what I get to do. This is the life that God gave me to be a part of, and I'm glad to do it. You know, talking about life and my life, I realize that life is a gift. And it's one of the greatest gifts. It is the greatest gift that God gave to us. He put his breath into us, and we came alive. And we have this life that we live. Again, it's a wonderful gift from God. And we can oftentimes forget that so easily when we get distracted by everything else that's going on. Never forget that this is your life. This is my life. And the thing about my life is I get to choose how I live it. I can do whatever I want with it. God gave me and he gave you that right. This is my life. I can, if I want to, I can ruin it. I can waste it. I can crumple it up and throw it away. That's my choice. And it's something that a lot of us don't even think about. But if we do that, God will allow us to do it. But here's the catch to that. That we've only got this one life to live. And when you think about that, I know beyond the shadow of a doubt that you think, then why not do it right? Amen? Do it the way that God designed it to be. And that's why this morning's message is entitled, Living My Life, God's Way. Let me throw out this question at you. Who is responsible for your life? Who's responsible for becoming all that God meant you to be? Who's responsible for your life? One answer, right? Pastor Scott. Because he's our spiritual leader. He's the one we pay our tithes to, so he's supposed to take care of us, right? Wrong. The truth is, I am responsible for my life. I am responsible. We all know that God knows what he's doing. The question is, what is he doing in my life? You see, God's got a divine plan for each and every one of us. Jeremiah 29:11, where he says, "For I know the plans I have for you," says the Lord. "They're plans for good and not for disaster, to give you a future and a hope." God's got a plan for each and every one of our lives, and it's the optimal plan, the most effective one, the one that is right. Again, the question is, do we know what that is? Because you see, in the beginning of the Bible, Genesis chapter 1, it says that God made man how? In his image. Made man in his image. You know what that means? It means that he imagined us. He dreamed us up and saw us in his mind even before he spoke us into existence. And the living God has a master's plan for each and every one of us, a distinctive design that is unique to the very heart of your very being. Now, I don't know about you, but I think that's so cool, the fact that God dreamed about me. And then he created me just the way that he saw me in his heart. And then he equipped me for the plan that he has for my life. And he gave me a race to run that is quite different from the race that he gave you to run. Unique to me. And you know where that all came from? It came from a dream. A dream that the Almighty God had. Turn to the person next to you and say, "You are a dream." Okay. Now, if it's not your husband or wife, let them know. I'm not hitting on you. Just saying. You are a dream. A very unique dream. And there's no disputing the fact that he created us all different. If you look around the room this morning, you're going to see over 100 different dreams that God had. All created with different talents, with different passions, created with one unique plan in mind, to run a very special race. Now, why did God do that? Why didn't he just make us all carbon copies? I mean, wouldn't that be so much easier? One user's manual for everybody on earth. 7 billion people. You know, when I was in high school and I was playing football, I used to think, man, if there was 11 of me, we would take this lead. And then I thought about that a little bit more, and I thought, man, I can barely stand one of me. How would it be with 11? Somebody once told me that God created us all different so that when he looked down from heaven, he could tell us apart. That way he could tell who was being good and who was being bad. But I believe the reason that he did that was so that working together with all of our different gifts and abilities and passions, we would be able to accomplish the fullness of his master plan. You know, I may have the honor and the title of being pastor in this church, and Pastor Scott may be my boss, and if you ask him, Pastor Alex will always be of a higher authority to us. But truthfully, the dream that God dreamed for us is not any bigger than the one that he has for you. The plan that he has for my life is not more important than yours. And when we stand hand in hand together at the end of the age before his throne, all the pedigrees that we build up in this life, all those things are going to be thrown out the window. And you know what? The only thing that God is going to be concerned with, he'll ask this question. He'll say, did you do what I asked you to do? Did you become all that I dreamed you to be? And did you run the race that I set before you? And did you run it well? That's all that's going to matter to him. What happens often in this life is that we see somebody else's plan, somebody else's dream, and we think, wow, that's so cool. And you know what we start doing? We start running their race. We get sidetracked from the plan that God has for us, the one for good and not disaster, the one with the future and the hope. And what we do is we start running another race. And after years and years of being off course, we lose sight of the dream. In fact, it's no longer a pleasant dream. It's a downright nightmare. You want to know why this world is so messed up? It's because people have lost sight of the dream that they really are. And they don't know the master planner. So they can never know the plan. Thus, they can never run the right race. Well, this morning, I want to make sure that everyone here has the opportunity to do a heart check, to find out if they're running the right race, and to encourage you either to get on track or to remain on track, because that's the race today that God designed for me. And if we want to live a life that is right, then it's got to start with knowing who we are in God's design. And it starts with number one, taking the challenge to discover who you are. Discover who you are. When Jeremiah was younger, just a boy, God spoke this to him in Jeremiah 1:5. He said, I knew you before I formed you in your mother's womb. Before you were born, I set you apart and appointed you as my spokesman to the world. Again, Jeremiah was really, really young, not even a teenager yet, when God spoke this to him, when he came to this discovery of who he was. In fact, in the very next verse, in verse 6, he questions God's plan for him because of his age. But as Jeremiah would discover, who you are has nothing to do with age. It has nothing to do with stature or social standing, and everything to do with the way God dreamed you up. You see, the most exciting journey that we're going to take in this life is not going to Africa. It's not going to India or anywhere else on the face of this earth. It's not going to be going to the moon or another planet, even to the remoteness, the farthest reaches of space. You know, men do this all the time. They go on these long journeys into the remote wilderness, and they call it, what do they call it? They call it soul searching. Yet the truth is, what we are really looking for isn't more than just one step away. Because the most exciting journey that we'll ever go on, the most exciting journey we'll ever take in this life, is discovering who we really are in God's heart. It's discovering who God dreamed us to be. And depending on how tall you are, that journey is not very far at all. For me, it's really short. It really only consists of taking the time to sit down quietly at the feet of Jesus and asking Him. It's how simple it is. Because He is the author of the story of you. And discovering who you are will require that you take time out to sit at His feet and let Him read you that story. I do believe that that's what Jeremiah did. He put himself in a place where God could reveal to him who he was, even at a very young age. And He will do the very same with us when we choose to take the time to hear it. I know we've all read some good stories. I love the Chronicles of Narnia. What's that new one that's out? The Hunger Games. I know many people read stories all the time, and we love stories. And there are some really good ones out there. You know what the best story is? The story of you. It's because of the author who wrote it. And that's the one that you want to listen to. Hear God say, I knew you, Aaron. I knew you, Abe. I knew you, Tom. Before you were formed in your mother's womb, before you were even born, I set you apart. I remember when my daughter, CJ, she was about a year and a half old. And every night when I come home from work, she would find the time to bring me a book, crawl up on my lap, and she would ask me to read her a story. There's one problem with that, because she's also Carlin's child. And don't get me wrong, she's got some really, really good qualities from her mother. But attention span is not one of them. And within 2 minutes, she would be off my lap, running around, doing something else, distracted by other things. And I don't even ever think we got to finish the story. And you're not going to sit on my lap now, okay? But how often are we just like that? How often are we coming before God and saying, oh Lord, show me your will for my life right after breakfast. Oh Lord, show me what you've designed me to be right after this football game. Oh Lord, teach me the race that I must run right after work. How often are we just like that? Cannot do that. The above willing to take the time to sit and listen to our story. We got to be focused enough to let God finish it. Pastor Scott is always talking about this guy named Paul. In fact, he talked about Paul last week. And if you don't know, Paul was an apostle, and he was a very successful apostle. Seemed like everywhere he went, he planted a church. Everything he did, people came to know the Lord. Everywhere he went, thousands of people gave their life to Christ. In fact, 13 books in the Bible are penned by Paul's hand. That's how successful he was. But his story didn't start out that way. In fact, he was running a race that was completely off course from God's design for him. If you're unfamiliar with his story, he was once Saul. His name wasn't Paul. He started off as Saul. Saul of Tarsus was his title. And Saul of Tarsus was a young man who had risen to the ranks as a Pharisee, the keepers of God's law. And if you don't know, the Pharisees actually persecuted the first Christians. And Saul was one of the greatest persecutors. From what I understand, he believed with all his heart that he was doing God's will. Why? Because somebody else told him that. And he was very successful at it as well, possibly even being considered to be the leader, the high priest of the Pharisees. Well, the Bible doesn't say it, but I really believe that somewhere along the line, Paul asked God to show him the dream for his life. Because one day, he puts together this posse, and they go out to another city where they hear about a revival going on. And they're going to go arrest those guys. And along the way, God shows up. As they're riding high and mighty, God knocks Saul off of his horse. Bright light shines. Saul is knocked off of his horse. And not only that, he blinds him for 3 days. And in those 3 days, that's where God spoke to him the real dream that he had for him, the real plan that he had for his life. And what does it do? It changes Saul's whole perspective on life, not just life, but all of eternity. Even changes his name. That's how he became Paul. And the rest is history. Now, I understand why God Paul knocked Paul off of his horse. Because he wanted to humble him. But why did God blind Paul? Why did he blind him? You know, the Bible doesn't give us a clear answer on this. Doesn't say exactly. But I fully believe with all of my heart that God blinded Paul so that he could stop seeing everything that was around him. Stop being distracted by what the world told him he should be. And he could start looking within himself into who God created him to be. That's why he blinded him. Toward the end of his life, Paul writes this very, very profound statement found in 1 Corinthians 15. Where he says, "But by the grace of God, I am what I am. And his grace to me was not without effect." If I sound like a broken record, it's because you know this is my favorite scripture in the whole world. This is a statement that Paul could make. It's a statement that I want to make at the end of my life. But Paul could make this one because he discovered who he really was, who God dreamed him to be. And I want to encourage you, take the same journey. Sit at the feet of the author of life and let him read you that story, your story. And if need be, then allow him to knock you off your horse, knock you down, and to blind you from distraction. In fact, I'll say it like this, whatever it takes, discover who God made you to be. And then when you do, don't stop. Don't stop. Once you've discovered the dream, then begin to do the things that that will prepare you to fulfill the dream. Begin to, number two, develop who you are. Develop who you are. Because God is going to reveal to you the race that he wants you to run. What I'm saying here is train for that race. Become everything that God meant you to be. You know, I know we're only in the middle of March right now, but in a couple of months, most of us anyway, are going to start thinking about Christmas presents. Me, I actually wait till December 20th. But most of us are going to start thinking about Christmas presents. And inevitably, on your present list, there's going to be somebody who already has everything, right? So the question pops up. What do I give the guy who has everything? Well, listen to this. God is a guy who has everything. Everything belongs to him. So what can we give him on his birthday or any day that'll make him happy? Let me offer you this. Give him a well-developed you. Give him a well-developed you. See, somebody once told me that everything you are is God's gift to you. And everything that you become is your gift to him. Pastor Alex always says it like this. He says, God loves you too much to leave you the way you are. See, God's desire is that we become everything, everything that he dreamed us to be. And that's where development comes in. Check out this story. Story that Jesus told in Matthew 25. Before, let me preface it for you. This story that we're going to read right now is about a landowner, almost like a king, a big boss. And he's going on vacation. But before he goes on vacation, he entitles some of his servants with some of his riches, just to see what they're going to do with it. So starting in verse 15, he says, to one he gave 5 talents of money, to another 2 talents, and to another 1 talent, each according to his ability. And then he went on his journey. The man who had received the 5 talents went at once and put his money to work, and he gained 5 more. So also with the one with the 2 talents, gained 2 more. But the man who had received the 1 talent went off, dug a hole in the ground, and hid his master's money. After a long time, the master of those servants returned and settled accounts with him. The man who had received the 5 talents brought the other 5. Master, he said, you entrusted me with 5 talents. See, I have gained 5 more. Master replied, well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful with a few things. I will put you in charge of many things. Come and share in your master's happiness. The man with the 2 talents also came. Master, he said, you entrusted me with 2 talents. See, I have gained 2 more. His master replied, well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful with a few things. I will put you in charge of many things. Come and share in your master's happiness. Then the man who had received the 1 talent came. Master, he said, I knew that you are a hard man, harvesting where you have not sown and gathering where you have not scattered seed. So I was afraid and went out and hid your talent in the ground. See, here is what belongs to you. Oh, his master replied, you wicked, lazy servant. You knew that I harvest where I have not sown and gather where I have not scattered seed. Well then, you should have put my money on deposit with the bankers so that when I returned, I would have received it back with interest. Now, I know this story is talking about money, but I found it intriguing that they would use the word talent, because talent was the measure of money that they used in those days. But intriguing that they would use the word talent, because today, you know, I'm not talking about money. What I'm talking about is the talents and the passions and the desires that God placed in us, the way he dreamed us up. And this morning, that's what I'm saying. Those are the things that we get to develop and give back to God. Well, but Pastor Aaron, you know, I'm not talented like some of the other people in this church. So what? So what? God is not interested in the amount of talent he gave you. He's interested in what you do with it. If you choose to develop that, even if it's just, if I'm just a 1 talent guy, you guys all know, I told you before, I can only do 1 thing at once. You know what I've chosen to do? Do that 1 thing good, as best as I can. And the same thing with us. Some of you have 5 talents, you just get more work than the rest of us. But whatever God has given you, develop that. Don't bury it. This is one of the things that we don't want to give back the same. Our lives are one of the things that we want to give back to God better. And the best that he gave it to us. Because what God is saying is, he's saying, don't sit on your blessed assurance. Get up and get into training for the race that I set you to run. Because he's given each of us passions and talents to be used for what? To go out and make a living and then die? No. To be used in our lives the right way, for his eternal glory, for his purpose. So, where do we train? I'm glad you asked. We train in the Bible, in the Word of God, the cover-to-cover manual for every situation known to mankind. 2 Timothy 3:16 and 17 says, all Scripture is God-breathed and useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness, so that the man of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work. Again, Pastor Scott is always encouraging us to make the time for us to be doing daily devotions, digging into the Word of God, not just on Sunday, not just twice a week, but every single day. And I'm pushing it again today. Why? So that we can all be wonderful Bible scholars who can impress all of Isawai with our Bible knowledge, right? No. so that we might all be equipped to run the race that God has for each of us. And not just run, but to run it well. And because of that, perhaps lovingly touch the lives of people right here in East Hawaii. That's why. So develop who you are. Give God the wonderful gift of the very best you that you can be. And then just be amazed at how He uses that to fulfill the dream. So number one, discover. Number two, develop. And then number three, deploy who you are. Deploy who you are. Because of course, it would be foolish to discover who you are and then never to develop yourself. But it would be 10 times worse to develop your talents and then never put them to use. It would be like a football player training years and years, working out on the weights, doing the wind sprints, doing the agility skills. Training for years. And then when it came time for the Super Bowl, not playing in the game. That's what it would be like. Now, I've never heard about that occurring in the football world. But in real life, in this life, it happens so often that we get out. We come to church every Sunday. We get into the Word. We learn and we store up all this knowledge, but it just stays at knowledge because it never drops down into the heart. And then never comes out in the hands and the feet. We need to deploy the dream that God gave for us. We can't just sit on it and let it go to waste. In his book called Dream Releasers, Dr. Wayne Cordero talks about looking into a graveyard. And a graveyard that was right here in Hilo. And wishing that he could harness all of the unused potential that was buried in that graveyard. If he could just find a way to gather up all of the talents and all of the passions that were still left at the end of those people's lives and then to market it, he would be the richest man in the world. Pretty deep, huh? Don't let that happen to you. I want to encourage everybody today, all of us, to not leave anything behind on this earth. Develop it into everything God meant it to be, and then spend it all. Spend it where? Spend it on the people you love. Spend it on the people who are on this earth. Spend it on the people who don't know Jesus Christ and still need Him. That's why we're here for. But deploy it all. Apply yourself to the purpose that He created you for in the first place. Now, I don't know what that is. It's for you to discover. But when you do, deploy it all. Romans 2:13 says, merely hearing God's law is a waste of your time if you don't do what He commands. Doing, not hearing, is what makes the difference to God. Our God is a God of action, and it all boils down to action, to applying your very being into the dream that God dreamed for you. Again, I don't know what that is. And neither does Pastor Dennis or Pastor Courtney. You know why? Because we are busy running the best races that we can. I can't say this, so whatever your race might be, whatever it might be, run it with all your might. 1 Corinthians 9, verse 24, it says, you've all been to the stadium and seen the athletes race. Everyone runs, one wins. Run to win. Amen? Amen? Amen. Don't put away your notes yet because I'm not done. As you all know, I always have a bottom line and I just forgot to put it in the notes today. So we're going to get to that shortly. But as I close, let me just finish with this. My wife, Carlin, once asked me this. She asked me, did you see your unborn children when you looked into my eyes for the first time? And I answered her truthfully. I told her, no. It's too busy checking you out. But here's a bigger truth. Bigger truth is this, that God did see you. Even before you were imagined by anybody else, God saw you. And he dreamed about you. And he dreamed of everything that he wanted you to be. You think you got a great imagination? You got nothing compared to God. So don't sell his dreams short. Discover who you are in his image. And after you've discovered the dream, don't let it go to waste. Don't let it go void. Develop it into everything and the very best you that you can be. And then again, don't let that go void. Deploy it and let God use you for everything that he meant you to be again. Use you for his eternal glory. So the bottom line is today, three words: live the dream. Okay, now you can put your notes away. And if you would you stand with me? And I'm going to invite the worship team back up. And let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, we come before you grateful for this life that we have, Lord. I know that sometimes we forget how wonderful this is, what a wonderful gift you gave to us. But Lord, don't ever let us forget. It's amazing to think, and sometimes overwhelming, Lord, to think that you dreamed about us. But you said that you did, and we believe you. So, Father, again, we are grateful. This morning, Lord, help us to live that dream. Help us to discover who we are in you. Because without that, Father, this life would mean nothing. If we never know who we are in you. So, Lord, knock us off of our high horses if we need to be. Blind us from the distractions of this world. Whatever it takes, show us who we are in you. And then, Lord, encourage us to develop everything that we have, everything that you've made us to be. Develop it so that we can run the race that you've set before us to the very best of our abilities. And then let us not stop there, Lord. Let us run this race well as you encourage us to deploy everything that we are for your eternal glory. As always, Father, this is what we pray, that your will be done. And we know that this dream is your will. So let me end with this, Lord. Help us to live your dream. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
You've been listening to Pastor Aaron Pacheco of New Hope Christian Fellowship East Hawaii. New Hope East Hawaii meets each Sunday at 9 a.m. at Christian Liberty Academy, 16675 Milo Street, Keaau, Hawaii. For more information, call us at 808-936-6651 or visit www.newhopeeasthawaii.com.